indeed. Hallelujah. What a Savior we have. What a glorious Savior who loves us absolutely, unconditionally. If you will, please turn with me to the book of the Psalms, the 32nd Psalm. I want to share with you a thought that I have had on my heart this week. One that every one of us has experienced in some way, some form, some fashion, to some degree. And it's one that is very, very necessary for us to be able to enjoy the blessings of walking with the Lord each and every day. And that is the blessing of forgiveness. Forgiveness. I won't ask for a show of hands, but I believe every hand would go up. How many has asked for forgiveness? And what a blessing it is when we experience that forgiveness in our hearts and in our lives. Psalm 32, I want to read verses 1 through 3. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. Let me go ahead and read 4. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his word this morning. As we think about this subject of forgiveness and what it means to us in our lives. I thought about this because of the fact in 2 weeks we will be celebrating the resurrection of our Lord. But before we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord, we will have to go through that time of remembering his suffering, the pain, the shame, the agony that he went through even before he was nailed to the cross, but then being nailed to the cross and made a public humiliation before all the people. And why was that important? Why did he have to do that? Why did he have to suffer in such a way? Why did he have to endure all that he went through and within a 24-hour period of time? And the answer is found in the book of Romans. You don't have to turn there. It's one that's very familiar, one that I've quoted very often, and it's one that I'm made to realize applies to me more times than I really care to admit. And that is, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men. And again, I'm going to repeat myself, but I think it bears repeating, that if it stopped right there, I could blame Adam for everything that's wrong in this world. If it stopped right there, I could say, Adam, you shouldn't have done it. But it doesn't stop there. Why did death pass upon all men? Was it Adam's fault? Well, initially, that sin first came into the world by Adam. But the last part of that verse says, for all have sinned. So I'm safe in saying that what I'm going to say today applies to every single one of us. I think the all there means all. All have sinned. Before that, in the 3rd chapter, Paul said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So that's every one of us. And so when you begin to think about it, and I'm going to try this morning to dissect this thought of sin and how it comes about in our lives and how that it is dealt with in our lives, using the 32nd Psalm, and specifically the verses 1 and 2. I'm going to read those two verses one more time. It says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. And verse 4 and 3 and 4 talks about the agony that's within us when we know we've done wrong. And for the child of God, we know when we've done wrong. I mean, I might try to ignore it, I might try to deny it, but the truth of the matter is, within myself, I know when I've done wrong, and until that is dealt with And I hope to show how that we deal with that. But until that's dealt with, it just gets worse and worse and worse inside. Have you ever been to that place where that you thought you could make amends for? You thought you could just turn yourself around? You thought you could do all the right things that would make up for all the wrong things that's been done? And the more that you try to make up for all the wrong things, the farther into that darkness that we slide into that place where that all of a sudden there's that dryness. In the 51st Psalm, which is referred to as a sister psalm to the 32nd Psalm, that's where David confessed his sin after that he committed adultery with Bathsheba. He confessed his sin to God, and he talked about his bones were broken. The joy was gone in his life until, and I'm thankful that there is an until that forgiveness is dealt with, until that sin is dealt with in our lives in a daily manner. Let me nail something down before I go any farther. Eternally speaking, our sins have been forgiven. Eternally speaking, our sins have been washed away. Eternally speaking, our sins have been cast behind God's back and never to be remembered again. God doesn't remember them, but guess what? You and I do. And that's where the dryness comes in. I know when I have sinned. I know when I have transgressed. I know what's in Steve Taylor. I know the tendency that is there to slip and to slide. And so therefore God, in His mercy and grace and love, has given to us the means whereby that those daily transgressions, those daily sins that we commit, that place us in the darkness, that place us in that place where that Satan feeds it, and he's able to make us come to a point where that we even, maybe you've never been to this point. Have you ever doubted that God could even love you? Have you ever been in such a dark place that you wonder, could God love somebody like me? If you've never been there, God bless you. But if you have, let me tell you, there's hope and there's assurance and there's security that is ours as we follow the things that God has laid down for us. So, he says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. I'm going to use some word definitions. I've kind of laid off of that in the last few weeks, but I'm going to go back to it now. The meanings of transgression, sin, and iniquity. Those three things are mentioned in chapter 32, Psalm 32, and they're mentioned again in Psalm 51. Those three things, transgression, sin, and iniquity. And there is... similarities, but there's a difference in those three things in our lives. The first one, in verse 1 of our text, transgression. Transgression means to pull away from, to break away from, to rebel. I wanted to rebel when I was growing up, but Mama wouldn't let me. I wanted to be a hippie, but Mama wouldn't let me. But there were certain things that I did rebel in, certain things that I did want to do that you slip around behind the... I'm dating myself now. Slip around behind the barn and you hope you're out of sight and nobody could see what was going on. Transgression is a rebellious act. The prodigal son, how did he show his rebellion? He said, I'm going to go into that far country. There's some big lights and big city down there, and I'm going to go and see what that's all about. I'm going to leave my father's house. I'm going to pull away. I'm going to break away, and I'm going to do it my own way. I'm going to do it my own self. He didn't say it, but he said, I'm going to transgress. I'm going to rebel against all that my father stands for. And I'm going to go and I'm going to do it my way and I'm going to have fun. So he thought. There was no fun to be had. It was utter darkness. So transgression is a breaking away. It's a rebellion. And as a result of breaking away from, here comes sin. Now sin, and I'm going to read this, sin means to miss the mark. And you think, well, that don't sound too bad. Until you start reading what God's mark is, what He commands for us to do. And sin is breaking away from and going and veering and missing the mark to the point where that I'm doing it my way rather than God's way. I'm doing my own thing. What was it that was said many, many times, especially started back in the 60s? Do your own thing, right? And today we see what doing our own thing has brought in our nation, don't we? If it's fun, go ahead and do it. And we see where that's taken us in our nation today. You see, there was a rebellion that took place, and it's still taking place today, and it has from Adam all the way down. There's that pulling away, there's that rebellious state, there's that breaking away from the things that God has laid down for us to do. And as a result, because that we're not in God's way, we're in our own way, and our own way is the way of sin. There is a way that seems right unto man, but the end of that way is death. Sometimes it is a natural death, but more often than not, it's that second death. That breaking away, that separation of fellowship from God because we've done it our own way. You set your eyes on, and I'm going to use Scripture in just a minute to prove what I'm trying to say. You set your eyes on what you think you're going to accomplish that day. And at the end of the day, you say, well, somewhere I've veered. I was going through some things this week, and I saw something that had been laid aside in her Bible, and it was the prayer, Lord, I've done all right. So far, I haven't offended anybody. I haven't said anything wrong. I haven't done anything wrong. But I'm about to get out of bed, so I need your help. We set the mark, but we miss that mark, don't we? Have you ever had a day in your life when you accomplished everything you set out to do that was good? I can't remember for one in my life that I have done that. I always look back and say, well, I should have, I could have, I would have, but you see, I missed the mark. Now you might say, well, is that sin? It depends. If the mark that I have set is God's will for my day, then yes, that's sin. If I've missed that mark that God has put on my heart, this is what I have for you to do today, and I miss that, then yes, that's sin. So sometimes I miss the mark by not following God's Word. Sometimes I miss the mark of my own expectations, of what I expect of myself to accomplish for that day. Sometimes, a lot of times, I miss the mark of, I guess maybe I miss the mark of my own expectations rather than what I think other people expect of me. You know, we have that thought in our minds, well, people expect that this is what we're supposed to be, this is what we're supposed to do, this is what we're supposed to say, this is how we're supposed to act. And sometimes we just miss that mark. But the worst missing of the mark is not following and obeying God's Word. So when I saw that definition of that sin is to miss the mark, there's a very familiar passage of Scripture that came to my mind, and that's in Philippians chapter 3, where Paul said, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended." In other words, he's saying, I'm not perfect. So that's the first thing of good news for me, is if Paul wasn't perfect, I know I'm not either. He said, I haven't apprehended. I haven't reached that point yet. But he says, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind. Can I tell you, we are our own worst enemy? Have you ever sat and just, I'm just opening my heart up to you this morning, but have you ever sat and thought back on something that happened 10 years, 15, 20 years ago, and you think, why did I do that? Why did I say that? Why did I act that way? And all of a sudden, I'm missing the mark of today because I'm looking behind. And you remember what Jesus said about looking behind? No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God which is ahead of us. Not the eternal heaven, but the kingdom of God of righteousness, peace, and joy. Because Satan can take our mind, put it 20 years ago, and all of a sudden our bones are dry. All of a sudden, the moisture of our body is just gone. All of a sudden, the joy and the gladness and the contentment that is to be ours in Christ Jesus is gone because of something that happened in our past that we can't change. There's not a one of us that can go back and change anything that took place in our past. So Paul says, you know, Paul has some things in his past that were forgettable. But I don't know that he ever forgot them. I don't know that he ever forgot that he was consenting to the death of Stephen. I don't know that he ever forgot that he held the cloaks of those that threw the stones when Stephen was stoned to death. I'm not so sure, but what that was in his thorn in the flesh, that every time that he would begin to feel good in what he was doing, he'd say, "Yeah, but Stephen, that was such a senseless death, and I was a party to it." Can you see how that Satan takes something like that, and sometimes it's nothing even that drastic, but he takes something like that and he plants it in our mind, and all of a sudden that joy is gone, and we begin to miss the mark. Paul says, forgetting those things that are behind, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And that is, I believe, righteousness, peace, and joy when we're walking in fellowship with the Lord. But sometimes we just have to forget what's behind. We have to just let it go and realize if I keep my heart and my mind on yesterday, I'm going to miss the blessings of today. So, David said, blessed is the man, the woman, the boy, the girl, whose transgression, whose rebellion, whose pulling away, breaking away is forgiven. Blessed is that one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. I'm going to talk about covered in just a moment. Whose sin is covered, who missing that mark is covered. It's covered by the blood. It's covered by God's grace. It's covered by His mercy. It's covered by His love. Sin is the action of wrong dealing. Whether it would be wrong dealing with myself or wrong dealing with others, and mainly wrong dealing with God. Just going against what God would have me to do and what God would have me to be. It is sin. And then he said in verse 2, blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. Now that iniquity is what I want to spend the next few minutes on. I said I was going to try to give a little time for the choir. Don't hold me to it, but I'm going to try. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. And we've seen transgression is the breaking away, the pulling away from God. Sin is the actual action of the result of pulling away from God's will. What causes all of that? It's iniquity. Iniquity. Iniquity, here's the definition, is that which is bent or crooked within me. Now, I've never, since a boy, never had anything to do with bow and arrows, and most of them that we had were made with breaking, cutting our own limbs and tying a string on it and making our own arrows that were crooked anyway. But a crooked arrow won't fly straight. And iniquity is that which is in every one of us. Every single one of us have iniquity within us. We have that which is bent, that which is crooked within us, that causes us to pull away, that causes us to miss the mark. We have that prone to sin. What is the song? Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart. Oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. I have that proneness within me, And you, because that sin entered into the world, and we all have sin, and we all have that, we call it the sin nature. It's called the Adamic nature. It's called the carnal mind. We all have that we have to deal with. And because that we're now born of the Spirit of God, we have the Spirit of God within us, but we still have the natural mind that we have to deal with, that the natural mind that pulls us. And we say, why did I do that? Well, the natural mind has pulled us. There's that battle, there's that struggle that every single one of us, every child of God, has that battle within them. The natural mind, that Paul would tell us in chapter 8 of Romans, the natural mind is at enmity with God. The natural mind is an enemy of God. But we have the Spirit of God. So every blood-bought, Spirit-born child of God has two... We have two natures that we deal with. We have the natural. And thank God we have the spiritual. Thank God that inner man is born of the Spirit of God. So therefore we have that pulling. We all remember, and we've talked about this several times, but we all remember the little cartoons when we were growing up. You know the one I'm talking about. You had one on this shoulder and one on this shoulder, and they both were whispering or yelling in your ears. You had the angel, you had the little devil that was sitting there. We all have that struggle within us. Please tell me I'm not the only one that has that struggle. Please tell me that I'm not the only one that is bent, that I have to constantly make adjustments and constantly ask the Lord to help me to come back to that place where I need to be. That I'm in line with His will and in line with His design and desire for my life. He says iniquity within us. It's that bent, it's that proneness. You know, when your car's out of alignment, what are you constantly doing with the steering wheel? You're trying to steer it back on course. And as a result of that steering back on course, what happens to the tire? It wears out, doesn't it? Do you ever get tired? Do you ever get tired of the struggle? You know, I've thought, and I've probably said it, I sure wish the Lord had taken away that carnal nature when He gave me His Spirit. But He didn't. And you know why? I believe we would have missed the blessing of understanding what forgiveness is all about if He had of. We would have missed that blessing that David talked about, and every one of us have experienced when you feel and know that God has forgiven you of that daily transgression, that daily sin. Oh, it hasn't affected your home in heaven whatsoever, but it sure has affected your way of looking at life on earth. Paul, in chapter 7 of Romans, he said, "For the good that I would, I do not. And the evil that I would not do, that I do." Yeah. Paul, I understand that completely. Good intentions. I have good intentions. I want to do this today. I'm going to get it right today. And then all of a sudden, Lord, please forgive me. Please forgive me. For I've missed the mark. I'm pressing toward it. I want to do what's right. I want to do what You'd have me to do. I want to walk in that path, Lord, that I know that I'm in Your presence, and I know that you have me and You're guiding me, even as You said at the end of the 32nd Psalm, that You're guiding me with Your eye and You're showing me the path. And yet, Lord, I'm bent. And so help me, Lord, to steer back. Help me to get back on that path. Paul said, now if I do that I would not. It's no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. Yeah, I can understand that too. He says, so I find a law that when I would do good, evil is present. And when I would not do evil, it's a struggle. He said, but I delight in the law of God. How do you feel in your heart and your mind at a time when you can sit down and you say, you know, Thank you, Lord, today I did what you put on my heart to do. Isn't that the most wonderful feeling that you can ever experience? To know that you did what God told you to do. I'm going to tell you, it is the most wonderful feeling in the world. There's nothing like it than being in the will of God. Paul said, I delight in that. I delight in the law of God that's within me that tells me this is what I'm supposed to be doing. And then I can just read Paul's mind to say, so why do I veer off course? Well, because I've got iniquity in me. Because I'm bent. And I have to fight to stay back on course. And then he makes a statement. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And I keep going back, that's the second death. He's not talking about the death of this body. He's not talking about dying in body. But that separation, the fellowship. Who's going to deliver me that I will not have that separation of fellowship with God? I thank God through Jesus Christ, my Lord. He is the one. That's the basis for our forgiveness. It's not because that we said, Lord, we'll do better the next time. I've said that to Him thousands of times. I'll just confess that to you. Lord, I'll do better next time. I won't let that happen again. But the only way I can keep from letting that happen again is that my complete confidence and trust and obedience is to my precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Give me just a few more minutes. Whose sin is covered. Now, I think I've told you all this story. I'm sure I have, but I'm going to tell it again to set the stage. I was preaching a meeting somewhere, and I said, all of our sins are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And he's gone on to be with the Lord now, but Brother Jesse Coleman came up to me afterward, and he very kindly, he said, Brother Steve, are our sins covered or are they washed away? I'm going to tell you, they're both. I just read it in the Scripture. I wish I'd known that verse of Scripture when he was talking to me. Our sins are washed away as far as God is concerned. But they're also covered. They're covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. So I looked up the word covered. It piqued my attention when I saw that this morning. What does it mean that our sins are covered? Okay, well, according to Strong's Concordance, the word covered there means to fill up the hollows. Now, growing up in East Tennessee, and it's the same around here, you got your hills and your valleys and your hollows, and the farmers up there, they would, in fields, in the hollow, we call it holler, but in the hollow, where it would rain, it would begin to erode. And sometimes it would make big ditches in their fields. And they'd let it be known, if you got any brush or, I don't know if anybody's watching, I shouldn't hear this, but if you got any old stoves or refrigerators or if it's big enough, we need to fill up the hollow. Anybody know what I'm talking about? We need to fill up the hollow. So bring it on and dump it. We'll put dirt over it and be able to grow our grass again, grow the pasture. You see, if our daily sin is not dealt with, I'm coming back to that, it begins to erode in our lives. And that which we first know should not be done, all of a sudden, we think, well, it's not so bad. And we start looking around and saying, well, other people are doing this. I mean, I haven't murdered anybody. I haven't robbed anybody. I haven't done this. But if we don't deal with those daily transgressions, those daily sins in our lives, it begins to erode. It begins to erode. And the next thing you know, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Sometimes our consciences, Paul says, are seared with a hot iron and we don't even have any feeling toward them. So those hollows have to be covered. How are they covered? I said I was going to quit 5 minutes early, so Go home and read, because we're not having tonight, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 and 10, and 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1. Very quickly what those verses tell us. If we confess our sins, God is righteous and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all of our sins. If we confess, how do we deal with our sins? We confess them to God. We confess them to God. Lord, I'm sorry, but I've done it again. I told you I'd never do that again, and here I am. I did it again. Lord, I confess to you. I need forgiveness. But also, I need my iniquity to be washed. I need it to be covered. And He's faithful and He's just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all iniquity. You go to chapter 2, verse 1, and it says, we have an advocate. I believe Brother Jim brought this verse in. We have an advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous. He sits at the right hand of the Father. And when we go to God in His name, He is righteous and He is just to turn to the Father and say, Father, for that sin, I died. My blood has washed and my blood has covered and my blood has filled up the hollow. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7, talking about Christ, says, in whom we have redemption, even the forgiveness of sins through His blood. Every one of us, without exception, every single one of us have the sin nature that we have to deal with on a daily basis. And I find myself falling way too short of the mark. I find myself falling way too often to having to say, Lord, I'm sorry. I did it again. But I'm thankful that He's faithful. Not only is He faithful to me when I confess, but most importantly, He's faithful to His Son. And I'm in His Son, and you're in His Son. So therefore, His faithfulness comes to us through His Son, Jesus Christ. He's faithful to the work that Jesus did on the cross. I said this is leading up to Easter. He's faithful to what Jesus did on the cross. And again, I conclude this morning by saying, hallelujah. What a Savior we have that loves me in spite of, not because of, but in spite of myself. He loves me and He cares for me. May we pray.